Have you ever wondered what Jesus really wants you to do? Do you want to understand the calling that he has on your life? Come join us on the God Centered Concept Academy on tuvu.com and join our community, and you will learn everything you need to learn about getting to your calling and what the model of the gospel is really all about. Being able to share your faith, understanding how to help build the kingdom of God as we are meant to do and as Jesus called us to do. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright. I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like. Well, today we got a fun show. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to drop what you're doing. If you're driving, just don't make sure you're paying attention to the road, of course. But guys, tune your ears into this because this is going to be a magnificent conversation. I promise you. I've got a guy on here named John Zachary, and John and I have been talking for 90 minutes on a couple of topics, and he is going to share with you his book, this incredible topic that you guys have got to, you've got to listen to this, and then you have got to go get his book, all right? And we will talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the show as to where you can get that. But anyway, without further ado, John Zachary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, T.S. Wright. Great to be here. I'm looking forward to discussing the research that validates the Bible is absolutely true using scientific data, actually NASA scientific data.
Amen. All right. Well, John, just real quick, and because we want to get to the book and we want to get some of this information that everybody I know is wanting to learn, but they're going to know a little about you. So talk to us a little bit about your story. How has God shaped and influenced your journey?
Well, I grew up in a Christian home. Whenever the church doors were open, we were always there. And so I was born again as a child, 10 to 12 years old. I don't remember the date. I just remember being born again and the Holy Spirit coming into my life. Well, by the age of 14, I felt called to become a pastor, but I'm not really a pastoral type person. So I went to college, and I got on a, and I was in Oklahoma City area, Christian college, and I joined a group, and we did evangelism on the weekends. And one night in Killeen, Texas, the ladies got up, and I'm going to preach a sermon on the second coming of Christ. And they sang one line into this song, and I heard rustling above my head. And I think, what's going on up there? And then I would have heard the word, I heard it, anoint. And if you were there, you wouldn't have heard it. It was a spiritual experience. Suddenly, a ball of power, like 8 to 10 inches in diameter, comes down on my head. And my right hand went to the top because I was in a church that didn't even believe in stuff like that. And this power comes down about 3 inches per second down into my chest, spreads throughout my body, and I'm like overwhelmed. So I got up and preached the sermon. We got a great response, and I studied it for like 14 years and had this scientific. What I did was I had a curiosity about Daniel's 70 weeks. If I scientifically date when these predicted events occurred based on a time-oriented prophecy, that means events have to happen on a precise date centuries into the future. If we do the scientific dating, what will we learn? And what pops out is human events are under divine control to reveal what is true of the spiritual realm. They will also reveal what is not true of the spiritual realm. So that's how I got into this. And then another event happened. I was going to just keep this information to myself. And it was in my home church, and the pastor asked me to stand up and testify. And I'd only told a few people about my research, and they were all fascinated by it. And so I said, well, it's nice to be here. By the way, pray for me to write a book. And I sat down and I said to myself, you idiot, would you ask that question for, or ask for that? And so those, we sit up for the pastoral prayer and everything's fine. He starts praying for me for guidance, and a stretch of 3-inch wide built of fire came across my chest. So I said, I better write it. That went on for a whole minute. And when he stopped, the fire stopped. So I wrote the book, and here we are today. So that's how I got into this. And then it just got better over time. So I hope that answers your question.
Definitely does. I love that. So we, now let's get into the book, because this book, The Science Behind the Story of Jesus, is just the stuff you and I've been discussing, and some of the other things that I've dove into that are also, you know, about really about proving and showing that God is very organized in cycles and patterns and all of these type of things that he uses with human interaction is fascinating to me. And so listening to you talk about some other angles that I've never even explored, you know, I was just like, I was like a kid in a candy shop. So
yeah.
It's like, hey, I want this flavor of ice cream. I want this flavor. Of course, you remember all the questions I was asking you. So yeah. I'm going to ask this question because we only have so much time. Let's talk first of all about a little bit of the Old Testament. You gave me some dating between with Numbers and Joshua. I found that one really fascinating. I was like, that's incredible. And then we're going to jump into Jesus. But talk a little bit about that, make it obviously in relation to what's in your book, which this obviously is, and just kind of give us that picture.
Okay. I'm going to actually start with Daniel, then go back to Moses and Joshua.
Sure.
Because we discovered this control period used by God. He's intervening in human events for more than 3,500 years, consistently and repeating exactly every time. This is not normal. It's a control feature. So it started with scientific dating, Daniel's predictions. These events have to happen on an exact date centuries into the future. Nobody can do that. But when you do it, you find God is controlling human events with these control periods. So we discovered the first one hidden in Daniel's 70 weeks. The next one was found in the earliest books of the Bible. And in each case, you have to use the book of Revelation, chapter 11. There's a number there. I call it a biblical constant of 360 days per year. So the first one comes from the movement of the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. If you read Numbers chapter 10, verse 11, it tells you the first day that the Ark of the Covenant began to move. And it's written there, it's the 20th day of the second month in the second year. So use that. You start calculating forward. And everybody on the planet, it doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim, a Christian, a pagan, an atheist, you're going to get the same number because you multiply 360 times the 40 years in the desert. In Joshua 4:19, it tells you they came out of they crossed the Jordan River on the 10th day of the first month, and it's the 41st year. So when you do this, you find out they crossed the Jordan River, the movement of the Ark of the Covenant, on the 14,000th day. Now that's the number that is controlling human events, because you do the same thing. Every time you use that number, 360, you'll find exactly 14,000 days hidden right there. That's what we found in Daniel's 70 weeks, time-based prophecy. And the 14,000th day is the exact day that the Romans burned down Herod's temple. Why would that happen? Control the events that precisely. Well, prophecy in Daniel is about the sacrificial death of a coming Messiah who rises from the dead and destroys Herod's temple. So one of the words in verse chapter Daniel 9, 24 is about sacrificing. That's the word used to sacrifice animals in the Old Testament temples. It's also applied to the Messiah to die as a sacrificial offering. So Jesus then rises from the dead and he destroys Herod's temple on the 14,000th day. Why would he do that? Because the Old Testament sacrificial system was no longer needed. It was never needed. If you read Hebrews chapter 10, you will discover that none of those animal sacrifices did anything for anybody. They were just symbolic. So to make this prophecy valid and logically flowing, it's about sacrificing the Messiah and destroying the Old Testament sacrificial system. So Jesus, the New Testament sacrificial system, replaced the entire Old Testament. Now, that's not just the first time we see 14. There also, we find it in the 21st century. It's active for 3,500 years. And so this is divine control. It's not randomly occurring, as some people might want you to believe. But anyway, I hope that answered your question.
Yes. So I just find the whole thing fascinating. Talk about Joshua. Let's date it back there. We were talking about Numbers and Joshua and the 14,000 days. Give me that one. Let's throw that one out there.
Well, let's say if you cannot change any of the information. It's kind of like the Bible's an engineering document waiting for somebody like me to look at it. And the dates that are written in there, if they were off by even one day, you would not find 14,000. But for sure, Numbers 10, verse 11, the 20th day of the second month, if that was off by one day, it would mess up the whole system. Joshua 4:19. If it was a different day, like let's say it was the 11th instead of the 10th day or the 12th, or maybe it was the third day, you're not going to find 14,000. So why do we find it? Revelation chapter 11, we're not 360. If it was 359 or 370, you would not find 14,000. So if we did this analysis and you got numbers like 10,295, or you got 11,245, or maybe 13,922, or 15,111, then that would be meaningless. There is no divine control. But every time we do the calculations based on what's recorded in the text, you get exactly 14,000 days, consistent and repeating. And it begins at the time of Moses, and it's actually active even in the 21st century, in our era. So it's telling you God is in control of human events to reveal what is true of the spiritual realm. At the centerpiece, we find Jesus. Sacrificial death and resurrection are validated by this repeating control period of exactly 14,000 days.
I love it. So you and I, as we were discussing this before, and would you talk a little bit about just talk about some of the kind of personal revelations that you've had through this process and being able to share this with other people? Because I love it when you first were doing this, you thought you were going to keep it to yourself. I laugh at that. God never allows you to do that. I've told you some of the stuff I'm writing and doing, and I've had those same thoughts, and God's like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. So anyway, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been able to share, maybe give examples without giving names of people, obviously, but maybe a few examples of how it's been really impactful in being able to evangelize to other people.
Well, what we do, we do teach evangelism. We use this scientific data for evangelism. And so we never argue with anybody. because it's basically, here's the science, like it or not, it's telling you the truth. Okay, so I teach evangelism in Africa, in many nations, and we're doing it in the U.S. We ask, you know, do you have anybody, you could ask anybody, or even ask your people you know who are atheists or agnostics or whatever they believe, it doesn't matter. Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? And if they spill their guts, then you got a fish on the line. And then you show them a video or get them to read the book, and things happen. Actually, the first convert we had was a Jewish guy, and he didn't believe, and his son was the pastor of a church, a Messianic congregation I went to. And he would say to me, Jesus is just a bunch of baloney. And I said, well, I befriended him, and I said, here, read just 50 pages, the first book I ever wrote, and then tell me your opinion. That's all, just give me your opinion next time we see. I went home, prayed for him, and the Holy Spirit says, got him, because it wasn't me. And so what happened was I saw him 2 weeks later, and I asked him, well, what did you think of the book? And he says, I bought 3 versions of the New Testament. I'm studying it.
Nice.
So like 3 months later, he was baptized. But that's what these materials will do. They like slap you in the face, wake up, because eternal life is for real.
Amen. Amen. And we know that we got to have Jesus.
That's right.
Eternal life begins and ends with our Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's right. So like John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, the scientific research validates that verse.
That's right. He's also the Alpha and the Omega.
There you go.
Amen. And guess what? I think John writes about that in a pretty interesting book as well called, Revelation. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, where Jesus calls himself the Alpha and the Omega. So let me ask you this question. Obviously, you guys use this for the evangelism. You've got some amazing stories here that, like I said, I was just like a kid in a candy shop when listening as we were having those conversations. Tell us about, maybe give us another little sample from the book of something that people just might find interesting.
Well,
you're talking about all this stuff.
Yeah, divine control of human events. So you get this consistent repeating control period of 14,000 days. It's attached to the Ark of the Covenant, and you have the 3 temples of the Old Testament. You have the Temple of Solomon, Herod, and Ezekiel's temple. Now, when Josephus observed as an eyewitness the destruction of Herod's temple, he wrote that it was destroyed on exactly the same date as Solomon's temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. Now, it was destroyed on the 10th day of the 5th month. And to Josephus, that was fate. When you read my research, it's a controlled event. It's controlled for a purpose because it's validating Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, talk about Ezekiel's temple. And if you read Ezekiel 40, verse 1, he tells you that the vision happened on the 10th day of the 1st month in a certain year. Okay, the 14,000th day for all 3 temples is the exact same date. It's the 10th day of the 5th month. That's just the way it is. The Ark of the Covenant, when they came up out of the Jordan, in Joshua 4:19, it is the same date as Ezekiel's vision, the 10th day of the 1st month. The end of the 69 weeks of Daniel are also that exact date. It's the day you select a lamb for a sacrificial offering. So you enter the promised land on the day you select a lamb, and that's kind of like entering heaven, the symbolism of it. And so entering heaven requires you to be covered by blood sacrifice. And that's why we put our faith in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So I find it fascinating that you found this in Daniel, because the prophet Daniel and the book of Daniel is a real transition period in human history. It really is. And because if you go back and look before that, Israel is a nation that has been basically God prophesied about it. He told them it was coming. And then everything comes to fruition and everything culminates with the Jewish nation. And then all of a sudden it falls apart. And of course, God tells through his prophets that that is going to happen. And of course it does happen. And then there's this time period of, a lot of people like to call it the Babylonian captivity period, but there's this time period of transition. You know, there's a lot of things that go on during that time period. It's not just Daniel and the things that he's prophesying and what we read in his book, but Jewish scribes are also writing out what we now know as the Old Testament. They are collectively putting this together in a way. Of course, they had writings and all these different pieces. Don't think that didn't exist, because it did, but they're putting it in more as of a collection and writing all this stuff up to help preserve their faith while they're in captivity, because they're so, you know, think of Babylon as this mixed culture of all kinds of different faiths and ideologies. And they don't want the people to lose that during this time period. So they do that for that reason. When they come out of this time period and they go back to Israel, then it kind of starts a new period in Israel's history. And then there's Jesus. And then right after Jesus is gone and right after the apostles start spreading the gospel, Israel falls apart. I mean, Rome completely obliterates the Israel nation. But they don't obliterate all the Jews, because they're scattered everywhere. You know, and of course, the Emperor Hadrian, in about approximately 136, that's when he puts down the final Jewish rebellion, and they are basically no more. I mean, it's over completely.
Yeah.
And then now, all of a sudden, we have Israel becoming a nation again in 1948, 1949, 1950, right in that 2 to 3 year time period, when it is reformed. Of course, the Balfour Declaration in 1917 helps fulfill this. They are the only nation on earth ever to fall apart and then 1900 years later, basically put back together. I know no other nation like that. So to your point that God is the God of, this is his word and it is solidified, since this is the only nation this has ever happened to, and God made Israel his chosen people and Jews his chosen people, I think that proves even more so to your point and to the things that you're lining out than even, I mean, I think it just adds more fuel to the fire. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Daniel, that prophecy is very unique. And Jesus' words and Daniel actually fit together at the destruction of Herod's temple. So you find it foretold in the 70 weeks, burn down the temple or destroy it. And then Jesus talks about it in the Olivet Discourse, recorded in the Gospels of Luke, Matthew, and Mark. Now, Luke is very different than Matthew and Mark. In Luke 21, verse 7, Luke pins a question. When will the temple be destroyed? And what are we going to do? How are we going to know to get out? And so Jesus answered that question, but he actually brings it into the end times as well, despite the way that question is asked. So what we find, but Matthew is different. He actually asks, when is the end of the world? In both of these gospels, Luke versus Matthew, there's one sign that answers that question. So in Luke, he talks about the destruction of Herod's temple. Then he says the Jewish people will be scattered all over the world. Someday they're going to come back and retake control of Jerusalem again. Now, what's interesting, when you read the book, you'll find there are two 14,000-day periods hidden in Luke's gospel, chapter 21. The first one is the 14,000 days that are in Daniel's 70 weeks, because Jesus also talks about it. And then Jesus foretells of them scattered around. They return and retake Jerusalem on June 6 and 7 in the year 1967. Now, the 14,000-day alignment is, again, right there. You add 14,000 to that event in 1967, you come to the Feast of Trumpets in the year 2005. So it's a controlled event of this repeating control periods that are always consistent. There's no variation. That means divine intervention. Now, you might wonder, well, why didn't he come back on October 4, 2005? That was the 14,000th day. The answer is because we don't know the time difference. Well, first of all, the sign in Matthew is the abomination of desolation. It requires a temple to be built in Jerusalem. There is not a temple there right now, so it can't happen. And his sign is about the end of the world. The problem with knowing the time and the day is we do not know the time from Jewish people retaking Jerusalem to the abomination of desolation. Those are the two specific events foretold for the modern era. We just know we've observed exactly 14,000 days. And what does it mean? If you read Luke chapter 21, verse 7, this is what he writes. What will be the sign of the destruction of the temple? And it is about to take place. And Jesus brought it into our world as well, the modern world. That means this sign is about to take place, or it's getting close, the second coming. Now, there are people in Israel that want to rebuild the temple, so everything is lining up, but we don't know the day and the hour. But it is fascinating. You get this repeating control period from the time of Moses and Joshua into the 21st century. That's Amen. Not a random event.
No.
That is divine control over everything going on. So Amen. If you read this book, your faith will be blessed. It's going to go through the roof. And you can talk to anybody about the Christian faith and why it's valid.
Amen. The science behind the story, John Zachary, go to authorjohnzachary.com and get your copy today. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time, John. Thank you for guys for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Make sure you join us on JesusSaid.tv. Yes, JesusSaid.tv, as you may be watching this right now on JesusSaid.tv, or you may be listening to one of my auditory platforms. Go to JesusSaid.tv and check all the stuff that we have on there out. Well, thank you guys again for being a part of this. We appreciate it. Now go forth in total surrender to the ones who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.